This KFKA podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Colorado and one community like Greeley, the place we've called home for years. Family-owned, community-focused banking, Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
And horrifying news story.
I don't know if this is the kind of hard-hitting news you're used to.
Got some good news and I got some bad news.
Now this could be the big story of the summer. Network is going to be wanting plenty of coverage.
What do you mean, silly? I mean, that's real news.
We were just talking about how they used to determine champions, all that stuff, how they're doing it now, how there's still debate. If your team barely misses the playoffs, all that stuff, there's still debate there. The College Football Playoff Selection Committee will announce its first of six rankings on November 4th, using enhanced metrics to help evaluate schedule strength and how teams perform against their slate, the CFP announced Wednesday. In the current schedule strength metric, more weight will now be applied to games against strong opponents. A new added metric of record strength will help the committee determine how teams performed against their schedule, rewarding those that beat high-quality opponents while minimizing the penalty of losing to one. These changes will also provide minimal reward for beating a lower-quality opponent while imposing a greater penalty for losing to one. Heather Dinesh of ESPN putting this story out this morning. So would Boise State still have been where they were last year if this would have been in place? They only lost to Oregon, but it was a good loss. It was close. They were close. But maybe didn't really beat a whole heck of a lot after that. Would Boise State still have been ranked as high as they were and a playoff team?
It should be that way. It really should be.
But do you think Boise State should have, if this were in place, would Boise State still have been in the college football playoffs last year?
I don't think so. I think you are only as good as your strength of schedule. You can blow everybody out of the water, but if you're playing a bunch of cupcakes, I'm sorry. You're stomping in the bakery. You're not playing the real big boys.
So Boise State's being punished for being in the conference that they are in, is what you're saying.
Correct, and it's unfortunate for them that the people that they're with don't have the resources to get quality. And that's why
it's the right way to do it. I just don't know how I feel about it. Like, it is the right way to do it. Boise State, CSU should not be able to go. If they didn't have, let's say Washington wasn't on the schedule and you put in a random whatever. If they go undefeated, should they get a higher seed than an SEC school that lost two games? Doesn't seem fair, does it? For now. Until these other teams prove that they're beating those teams, SEC teams and Big Ten teams, Big 12 teams, until they're doing that on a regular basis.
What you're going to see is you're going to see less money games. So you're going to see less UNC going to play CSU for the money, but you're going to see CSU scheduling another tough opponent. And we'll see what the future holds. For that, will CSU's record get worse, or will they find a way to get better at that? This is the only way that it's going
That's
to work
great,
like this.
Great point by you. You might see less of the money games.
So I think this is either going to backfire horribly, or it's going to be like it should be.
Well, and you also won't be punished as severely if you play a great team and you lose and you keep it close. It works both ways. The Oregon loss, 37-34 for Boise State, would have probably been considered, okay, yeah, that's actually a good grade we're going to give you because Oregon turned out to be pretty damn good. But then you went on to beat Portland State, Washington State, Utah State. Hawaii. Not good. UNLV was the other decent victory, and they beat them twice.
Well, don't say about Washington State because they beat my Huskies last year.
But they
still hurts.
But they weren't very good last year, were they?
Yeah, they existed.
Wyoming, Oregon State, San Jose State, Nevada, San Diego State. Like, none of those would be, if you're talking about like in college basketball terms, like, are any of those quad ones? Because college basketball does like quad one, quad two. Quad one is like upper echelon team. You get rewarded for beating those teams. There's only one, maybe UNLV, because I think they were 20th at the time they played in the conference championship game. So maybe they had two quad one wins, if you wanted to use basketball terms. I get it. I do. But I don't think Boise State would have made the playoffs last year with this new system.
I totally agree with you. And I think this is a more accurate system. It hurts some teams, but overall it's better for what it's supposed to be. It's better for sports. Let's take boxing, for instance. Like Mike Tyson in his heyday, he was beating the hell out of everybody, knocking people out in the first round. And if you're some other boxer that nobody has ever heard of, and you take him to the eighth round, you know, people are going to go, oh, wow, this boxer is incredible because he took Tyson to the eighth round. And, you know, under the old system, like, people wouldn't care as much.
Yeah. No, I think it's interesting. It's the right thing to do, but that seat at the table that I talked about last segment kind of goes away.
That seat at the table, yeah, but you're getting baby food at the seat of the table. You're in a high chair. You don't deserve it.
So I'm glad you answered the question. So Boise State, no. They wouldn't have made the college football playoffs last year if this were taken into account.
No, probably not.
Hmm.
But I think what you're going to have is Boise State, they've got that handicap of playing a bunch of really bad teams. So what they're going to have to do is they're going to have to say, okay, in the future,
we got to schedule three.
Yeah, we've got to go against Florida, or we have to go against another team that's in the FBS. And maybe they're not going to be the best team in the FBS. Like maybe they'll go North Texas. But they're still better than the FCS teams. Mm-hmm. So it's still more legit. But you're probably going to see more of a divide. What my fear is, you're going to see more of a divide between the upper echelon and the other group. So this might work out for now. It might backfire horribly. We'll find out in 5 to 10 years. When some schools are saying thumbs up and other schools are saying we just got hosed.
Well, it's always the debates we have, like, oh, is your strength of, you know, Boise State got knocked because, well, you're not playing anybody. And then we would use the, well, they played Oregon and they beat, it was the whole Heisman conversation too about Travis Hunter and Ashton Jeanty. It's like, why should Travis Hunter win it over Jeanty? He's going up against better competition. Jeanty's doing it against lesser teams in the Mountain West, but he had a pretty good game against Oregon. That was always the argument. Well, now this will actually, the arguments that we're having will be vetted out, I suppose, through this new metric system. So it will say, yeah, the Oregon loss was actually a positive mark for you. If you would have won, that's one thing. Now, if they would have went undefeated and Oregon was a part of that, they're in. Right? We can agree on that. They beat Oregon. They lost by a field goal. They beat Oregon and they're in.
Yeah.
Yeah. But that's how different that things make it. But the loss would still be a positive mark. But then the rest of the metrics would come in and say, how many of these Mountain West teams? Okay, UNLV, we're going to give you a positive mark because that was a ranked team when you played them in the conference championship game. But the rest? I mean, CSU, didn't they finish third and they were an 8-win team? So that would, even though Boise State didn't play them last year, but that's going to be the thing. Well, yeah, you don't have any world beaters in the conference.
The only time I like automatic bids are when it helps my team. When it helps my team, Love automatic bids. Outside of that, I think they're stupid because you can win your conference. Like in basketball, you can win your conference and then you're in the, you know, the, you're in March Madness. And it's like, theoretically, you can win none of your conference games and go to March Madness. And that's really stupid. Like, you can win your conference and have a really bad conference in football. And same thing in the NFL. You can technically win no games and still go to the playoffs because you have the dumb tiebreaker.
Yeah, it's fascinating. They're trying to make changes, and it sounds like they are. 16 minutes after the hour, Jerry Schimmel, one of the voices of the Colorado Rockies, set to join us next. Bad loss to the Dodgers last night, but there's no doubt the Rockies have been playing better baseball. We'll get Jerry's thoughts on the Rockies, Major League Baseball expansion, all that and more coming up next. It's the whole show powered by Chevron on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.
For more on KFKA programs, podcasts, sports schedule, and news, go to 1310kfka.com.
This is Cato June, all-pro linebacker, Super Bowl champion. You're listening to 1310 KFKA.
Minutes after the 12 o'clock hour, joining me now, one of the voices of the Colorado Rockies, the one and only great friend of mine, Jerry Schimmel. Jerry, always great to catch up with you, my friend.
I appreciate you having me on. It's been a while.
It's been too long, Jerry. I don't know why we don't do this more often, but I absolutely love when you're on the show every time. So now you're just going to be on every day. You could swing that, right?
Sure. Yeah, why not? I'm not busy.
Jerry, I know you knew about Tanner and I's little hair beard bet thing. That was interesting. I still haven't got my hair cut. I'm getting that tomorrow. But Rocks got it done for us. They got to that 35 win mark a little faster than a lot of people thought based on what we were seeing. And I'm pretty happy with that situation.
Well, yeah, I think all of us are. Not just because you could shave, but because the Rockies are playing better.
Yeah.
No, it wasn't you. It was Tanner. Tanner looked terrible.
Yeah, Tanner so had a rough go with that beard, Jerry.
Yeah, he did. He did. He's not a beard. It just doesn't look good in a beard. You look fine. Tanner's different story.
It did hit a point, though, the last week or so where it was out of control. And I was like, because you couldn't trim it. We couldn't trim it or do anything like that. So I was ready to remove it.
You guys are troopers. Hey, well done. And I'm glad it happened quicker than you thought it might.
Yeah.
I know last time I talked to Tanner, which is last Friday, I thought, and maybe in Pittsburgh, you know, maybe then it happens here. So good for you.
Yeah,
good
well, you and then they followed it up after winning 35. They start that Dodgers series off. I know last night was rough, but they get game one. And there's no doubt, Jerry, since the All-Star break, this Rockies team, they look completely different. They have played much better baseball.
Yeah, they have. And I think that, I don't know if anybody saw that comment, but I did think, Brady, they would start playing better baseball than they did before the All-Star break. It was a matter of time. They made some adjustments, I think, with the roster that has really helped. I think those rookies at third and first base have eliminated a lot of those empty at-bats we saw with Tolia and even with Ryan McMahon. And now we're getting good at-bats that way. And those are productive spots. Those need to be power spots for you on the corners, on the infield. And the Rockies are finally getting some production that way. And Karros hit his home run last night against his dad's old team and all that. So it always starts with starting pitching. And when you don't get that, you struggle like the Rockies did last night. But when they get decent starting pitching, they have been competitive. And it was interesting. I think I have this right. Before last night, when the Rockies lost the Dodgers, they had the same record since the All-Star break as the Dodgers did. So, yeah, playing much better baseball.
Yeah, well, and it's a good sign for the future. I mean, I know it's been bad, and they're trying to avoid, which I think they will, avoid that bad history, Jerry, but it's a good sign for the future for this team that you played this well since the All-Star break. What does that mean for a guy like Warren Schaefer?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think it all depends on whether they make a move with the general manager, which I think they're going to. I can't imagine 300-plus lost seasons in a row and not change your general manager. But I think it'll depend on, if they do that, who the new guy is and what he's thinking. But I think Schaefer's done a good job for himself. I mean, I think you have to take a look now because he's kind of turned things around a little bit. And this last 5 weeks of the season will probably be a big determinant, too. Can they continue to play good baseball? Can they maybe flirt with a 500 record this last 5 weeks? So I think a lot will depend on this last month plus the season, but I think he's scored some pretty good marks for himself so far.
It's tough. You mentioned, like at the general manager position for Bill Schmidt. 3 weeks ago, I would have been like, yeah, you can't even think about returning your GM, maybe your manager. If you have these bad 3 years in a row of losing 100 games, you can't do it. But now it's interesting because you're starting to see a lot of these younger guys. You just mentioned Karros. I mean, there's a lot of younger guys that are playing really good baseball, and Bill Schmidt responsible for a lot of those dudes.
Yeah. I think there's been some bad luck in the last couple of years. Obviously, the Chris Bryant thing was a disaster, and some injuries, and really some situations you can't really help. But at the same time, that the draft and development hasn't been good for a number of years. It looks like it might be turning around a little bit, like you said, with some young players. So, and it just depends on what ownership, I guess, is thinking right now. Do you make a move for another general manager? Do you try to get some different ideas in here, a different approach? You know, I think the biggest thing for the Rockies is they're not going to be able to sign a lot of free agents. They don't have the budget for that, and they're not going to be able to buy things. And they've got to develop, especially pitchers. You can get hitters, position players to come here. You can get veterans to come. But it's really hard, as we know, to get pitchers to come, especially starters. So it's going to take a draft and development, attention to detail to get these pitchers to where you can compete on a regular basis. And that's the biggest question mark going forward, Brady, as early as next year is, what's that rotation look like? I mean, it could be a lot different next year. Who knows what's going to happen? Austin Gomber's really struggled. I doubt he's going to be coming back. He's a free agent. So that starting rotation, other than Kyle Freeland, might look really different next year.
Yeah, Austin Gomber. I saw the quote from him from last night, Jerry. Man, you know, it sucks. It's bad, but you can't help but feel bad for him. He said, I feel like I'm in a tough spot right now. I felt like I left the team down. I feel like I'm a little bit lost out there right now. I don't really have any confidence, conviction. I don't have an identity. Man, Jerry, that's tough right there to hear that.
Yeah, you can't pitch at this level with that kind of attitude and that kind of approach. And what's so interesting, we talked about this last night in the year, beginning of the ballgame, that first start he had this year when he came off the injury list was in Atlanta, threw 5 shutout innings, and he looked like he was in control, and he looked the opposite of what he described himself as last night. He was pinpoint, and he was confident, and the body language said, I'm in control, and now he just looks like a different pitcher. And I guess when you give up, I don't know how many, six runs at least in the last 3 starts combined, you're probably going to feel that way.
Yeah. Jerry Schimmel joining us, one of the voices of the Colorado Rockies. You'll hear Jerry and Jack on KFKA tonight, as we are an affiliate for the Rockies Radio. And so I'm excited again to see what this Rockies team can do. What do you think's going to happen tonight, Jerry? It's a pretty big night. Especially when you look at the pitching duel happening tonight.
I think everybody's excited about that. I've never seen Ohtani pitch. I think he pitched one time against the Rockies, and I didn't do the game. That was, I think, one of the COVID years that I missed. But I've never seen him pitch against the Rockies. I'm excited about it, and everybody that I've talked to as well. And not only tonight, but tomorrow night, you're gonna tomorrow afternoon see Clayton Kershaw. So you're gonna be able to see 2 future Hall of Famers back to back pitching against the Rockies. That's super fun, and that might well be Kershaw's last start at Coors Field, probably is going to be. So that'll be fun tomorrow as well. So I'm excited. You know, you hope that for the best with Ohtani. He's got a little bit different approach now. He's throwing different pitches than he used to when he pitched with the Angels. So it'll be interesting to see what his repertoire looks like tonight.
Yeah, he's such a fascinating study. I mean, my wife's watching the game with me last night, Jerry, and she's like, he looks like he was made in a lab. He's so gigantic. His stance is perfect. Everything about him, every movement he makes, just looks perfect.
Isn't that the truth? I think that's a great observation, and that's why he's the best player in the game. And, you know, Tanner makes a good point. He might go down as the best player of all time in baseball history because he's a two-way player and successful in both of those endeavors. So, yeah, he's super fun to watch. I mean, you hate when he beats you. Like, he crushed a homer last night.
Yeah.
That was 116 miles an hour exit velocity, which I think is the most I've ever seen. Just absolutely missile to right field. And so to watch him display that talent on a nightly basis is really kind of fun.
Jerry Schimmel talking to us. Jerry, we heard the Rob Manfred stuff talking about expansion in Major League Baseball. What are your thoughts there? Obviously, that might mean some changes for the Rockies, too. But what are your initial thoughts kind of surrounding this idea?
Yeah, I think I like the idea of expansion. I think to give more fans access to this game is a wonderful thing. I think Major League Baseball wants to figure out the Tampa Rays situation before they probably could expand. I think they have some ideas that way, and I think you'll probably see that team move to Nashville eventually. But I like the idea. There's also talk about realignment and the Rockies going into a different division. It might be with one of the Chicago teams. It might be with a couple of Texas teams and then Arizona. I mean, who knows what it looks like. But for the Rockies to get out of that division away from San Francisco and San Diego and the Dodgers would be a really good thing for their health. So I'm excited about them. I'm excited to see what the changes are. All the changes that we've seen the last several years, to me, have been great. The pitch clock has been awesome, speeding up the game, little nuances. You're probably going to see the new ball strike system applied next year that we saw in spring training, which I thought was great. So all these changes are good, and I think expansion and realignment would be positive too.
Well, and that's kind of been one of the things we've talked about with baseball, with Major League Baseball, is maybe that unwillingness to want to change, to shorten the game, to add the pitch clock, things like that. Rob Manfred sometimes gets a lot of flack, but I really appreciate the forward thinking and some of the big moves, because you're right, the pitch clock has made it much better, in my opinion. I just kind of like hearing him talk about it, because for the longest time it was more of a baseball's not really going to change.
Yeah, exactly. And that was the resistance for a long time with a lot of different commissioners before Manfred. Now you're seeing at least open-mindedness to change. And we don't have to do it all at once. We can do it slowly, do it in increments like we have seen the last 5 or 6 years. You know, the DH now in both leagues and all that stuff, I think, is very positive, very well received by the fans. I know as broadcasters, especially, the pitch clock has been lifesaver. It's putting years on guys like Jack Corrigan and myself, because the games are a half hour less now. And at Coors Field, they're even more than that. We used to have the longest games in baseball at Coors Field and just would wear you out. So I think it's great for everybody. And I'm looking forward to realignment. You know, the fact that the Rockies are the only team in the mountain time zone, so the travel can be a little bit difficult. I think we figured out last night, Jack and I did off the air, that Seattle's probably got the most mileage to cover during the season, and the Rockies might be second. Got to go to the East Coast, you got to the West Coast. You go to the Midwest a couple of times. You go to Kansas City and St. Louis and Milwaukee. But to do more of that would really, I think, be good for everybody.
Yeah, no, I agree with you 100%. Jerry, great stuff as always. As you know, we love hearing you and Jack here on KFKA throughout the summer months, and we're excited to hear this one tonight. Like you said, it's going to be a show. So I'm looking forward to it. And who knows? Maybe the Rockies do something crazy in this one tonight too. You never know.
Hey, if they can get down 9 runs in the first inning and come back and win, they can do it.
That's 100% accurate. Jerry, appreciate it, my man. Have a great call tonight, my friend.
All right, buddy. I appreciate it. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, Jerry Schimmel, one of the voices of the Colorado Rockies. Yeah, it's going to be a pitcher's duel tonight, Mike. Tanner Gordon and then Shohei Ohtani. But Tanner Gordon, 7.98 ERA. Not 8. Pretty good. It's not good, Mike. You're looking confused. It's not good.
I thought you were 7.98.
Yeah.
I was like, that doesn't sound good. I thought like 3 was good.
Yeah, no, not good. So Shohei Ohtani's going to be pitching tonight. Tanner's probably right that he's going to go down as the greatest of all time. I mean, you just don't see it. He is, I'm telling you, man, the way he moves, the way he runs, he looks like he was created for professional sports. Like he was just built, like they were designing him in a lab. He's He's outstanding. And watching him, like last night, he's just such a statue up there. I mean, it doesn't look like he's ever been fazed by anything. And I know he's got some weird legal stuff happening on the outside. But when you look at that guy, you think, man, that guy's perfect. He doesn't do anything wrong ever. The only thing he would do wrong is putting trust into the wrong people, probably. I don't know the rest of that real estate story, but we'll probably get more later.
You think people would like totally freak out if they actually found out he was made in a lab?
Maybe he was.
Like,
maybe.
Not like human made in a lab. Like people would be like, well, at least he's human. I'm talking about like robot.
That he's a robot? Yeah.
People
would freak
out. Of course,
you'd have nerded up even more than what I did.
Controversy. They'd rather have their homes all, whatever the real estate thing is going on, they'd rather that happen than him be a robot.
Mm-hmm. 35 minutes after the hour. Thanks for that, Mike. Let's jump out real quick and get the latest on the local sports flash.
There's only one feeling like knowing your banker personally. Like growing up with a bank you can count on. Like being sure what you've earned is safe, secure, and local. There's only one feeling like knowing you're supporting your community. You deserve more from a bank. You deserve an institution that stood strong for generations. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
This is Chris Abshire, Fort Collins, Colorado, and you are listening to the whole show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
I want to thank the Eaton Country Club, Northern Colorado's hidden gem of a golf course, is in our own backyard in Eaton. The sport they sport some of the best greens in all of Northern Colorado. Check them out, man. I love the Eaton Country Club. Find them online at eatoncc.net. Find out how to become a member. Season's not over yet. There's still a lot of golf weather to be had out there. So check them out. Again, eatoncc.net. Mike, you any good at golf? No.
I've never played golf. I've played putt-putt golf.
Any good at that?
I exist.
So you're good? Or you're not good?
I can swing the putter, and
yeah,
I can hit the ball.
You should be able to swing that, yeah.
Whether it goes in the straight line is sometimes.
You're not a bad bowler.
Not this last time I was a bad bowler.
I was joking. You're not great at bowling. You could get better.
I got a turkey for the World Food Bank
you
once,
did.
And I was very proud
that
of myself.
That was pretty cool. You actually did all right last time, I thought.
I got like a 60.
Oh,
66 or something.
What's your, like, what are you happy with?
I just want to get over 100.
Yeah. You got to get 100. You got to get over 100. That's like the must.
I need to know what the average bowling score is.
For professionals or for regular people? I like bowling. I think we're doing our Bowling for Turkeys thing again with Weld Food Bank. Great partnership there where we raise a lot of money for the Weld Food Bank, especially around such a tough time on the holidays. So, man, the people that show up for that, they're just so great. It's fantastic, and it's a fun night of bowling.
Okay, so for recreational bowlers, according to AI, who's quoting Cora, whatever that is, an average score is between 70 to 100, and that's recreational bowlers. League bowlers average 150 to 160.
Hmm. I think if I was in a league, I could do that. I'm okay at bowling. I'm not bad at it. But I'm inconsistent sometimes, but it's a pretty straight shot. I just don't have the force sometimes. I use a really heavy ball, and it helps.
I don't bowl the same way every time. Like, I used to curve the ball, and this last time it started going more straight.
I've never been a curler. I can't do the spin thing. I've never been able to do that. Like, where you don't even put your fingers in the holes, you just kind of hold it, and then you, like, underhand, then overhand it kind of thing, and then it spins. I've never been able to do that.
Well, I put my fingers in the holes. It just spins. It didn't do this last time, although I had an issue with tendonitis in my bowling hand the last time, so maybe that's why I was so bad.
Yeah.
I blame
practice.
That.
You go practice. But golf, though.
Yeah, I'm not.
You've never been interested in going out and golfing?
No, that's outside. I'd rather be inside at Chipper's Lanes bowling.
You're a creature. You like to stay in the dark areas.
Yeah, and it's pretty dark there in a bowling alley.
Yeah, well. Is this Nick Benito thing? Are we alarmed at all that he hasn't signed this? He hasn't got it done yet, or is it exactly what we've been waiting on? You know, Trey Hendrickson and Micah Parsons waiting to see what that is. I feel like it's going to get done, but the longer it goes, it just, you know, come on, let's make it happen. Let's get Benito signed up and ready to lock and load for the next 4 years.
Didn't one of the insiders say that it took until 4 days before the season?
That it could take 4 days before
the season? Well, I think last time it was Benito or somebody, it took 4 days until 4 days before the season for a contract to be signed.
Oh. Well, it wouldn't be Benito.
It was somebody. I don't remember who.
Maybe was it Sertan? Did Sertan sign his?
It might have been Sertan.
Well, he said last month. He wants to be a Bronco. I mean, he definitely wants to be a Bronco, but he's going to be worth the big money, man. He has to. I mean, you want to be careful here too. You don't want him to not have a contract and then have an even better season than he had last year, because then you are paying him around $30 million a year.
But the problem is, a lot of times when you pay someone a lot of money, then they either get hurt, like Tim Patrick, or they have a crappy season.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, true. I don't think it's going to happen with Benito, though. I think this dude's going to be a stud, continue to be a stud. He said, quote, according to the Denver Post, "I feel like they've pretty much, through the whole process, kept me a priority. Knowing they want to extend me, they want me here. It's just about when they want to get it done and when we're ready." Yeah. I mean, he's the main one. Because you got Allen done, you got Sutton done. Benito is the main one you want to get done. But Benjamin Albright told us last week that there is an offer, just Benito's camp. They're just waiting to see what ultimately happens with Trey Hendrickson and Micah Parsons. And it sounds like both of those guys want to get the hell out.
All right. If it helps Nick Benito, we will give you a radio show. If you sign with the Broncos right now, you will have a radio show.
You're going to pay for it? You're going to pay him for that? It'll
be free.
Texter from the 970. It was PS2 who signed his extension 4 days before the season. Yeah. There we go, Patterson. You said Benito. Benito hasn't signed his contract. I don't know where your brain was going.
My brain is swimming in a swimming pool right now.
Yeah.
I got like an hour of sleep.
So Sean Payton said this on the Benito contract. When you sign with a year left remaining, well, there's a cost of that a little bit. You gain another year of security from injury when you sign as a free agent. That number is probably bigger. And so those are all the decisions that weigh into the player and organization's mind. Benito has made it clear, according to the Post, that he wants to stay in Denver. He's not quite Micah Parsons or Trey Hendrickson. He's good, but he's not at that level yet. So if those two command whatever it is, 28, 30, Benito's going to be a few mil short of that. So again, that's why he's waiting to see. He's not going to go sign for 22. If he sees Hendrickson and Micah Parsons signed for 30, then he probably could have got 25, 27. He's playing it the right way.
I hope Micah Parsons panics and signs for 20. Then we can pay Benito 18.
Mm-hmm. That won't happen.
It won't happen, but one can dream.
Well, and again, it's not our money. It's just the risk you run with signing Sutton, Allen, and Benito to big money deals. You really need all three of them to take off. You need them to live up to that contract. Because, it's the same situation we're talking about with like the Nuggets. Pay Michael Porter Jr. all that money. We don't care as fans. It's not our money. But the problem is, now you can't go pay other guys. Now you can't go get depth on
your
team.
That's why I care.
That's why we care. We scare because we care. 12:48 the time. Quick break coming up. We'll wrap up hour number two. We got buy or sell. Sean Keeler from the Denver Post going to join me in the final hour. Doing a little talking a little CSU with Sean. He was out at CSU Media Day last week. I got a chance to see him. Always great to catch up with that dude. And he was allowed to ask questions, so that was exciting. It's a whole show. We'll be right back.
Learn all about Platte Valley football tonight at 5 on KFKA. Presented by Kelsey Peters State Farm Insurance.
Hey, this is Mark Johnson, voice of the Colorado Buffaloes, and you're listening to The Hull Show with my buddy Brady Hull on 1310 KFKA.
I had a message on the MPJ thing asking, and I've talked about this before. Brady, do you think the Nuggets were trying to keep Michael Porter Jr. off of podcasts and things like that? Because it seems like he is, I can't find the message, he seems like he is really being more active these last few weeks, last few months. Yeah, it's interesting. We've heard MPJ, I mean, he has his podcast. We've heard him talk quite a bit. I mean, he talked about the WNBA, and he's had somewhat, I don't know if he would say controversial things to say, but he's spoke before. It's just now talking about women and his rules for dating. And again, most of the stuff he said is not like, oh, wow. But when he brought up that host, that podcaster, is that what he is? And said that, you know, to play devil's advocate, maybe I'll play that Andrew Tate stuff to see, like, what are you seeing? I mean, that guy's extreme. Like, he's a dangerous guy from what you tell me, Mike, as far as the things he says. I don't care if you're saying, so you play a podcast for that person to make sure they don't like it, or do you play a podcast for that person to see if they're kind of cool with it? Because he says he's playing devil's advocate.
Yeah.
I don't understand it.
I don't know. That's not the right thing to say. If she doesn't like it and he's playing devil's advocate, well, actually, see, he's empowering.
Or is he playing devil's advocate because he doesn't like it? It's, again, dude, like, what are you doing, man? Last week was so enlightening, the gambling talk that he had. It was really fascinating, but then this stuff is just, are these things that need to be said? I mean, this, saying he's going to, and again, most of it's not that big of a deal, but when you bring that dude's name into it, you really start to get people talking. People get a little up in arms about that. Like, they bleeped him out on the damn podcast. They can't even say the name.
Yeah, and I don't think they probably bleeped him out because he's a competitor. I think they bleeped him out because no one wants to be associated with Andrew Tate.
Yeah, he's very, very controversial from what I hear. So, all right, coming up next, we got Sean Keeler of the Denver Post going to join us. We'll talk a little Colorado State. Buy or sell. Also, opponent preview continues. I've got the Broncos at 3-2. And then they go to London to take on the New York Jets. How's that going to go down? We'll talk about it coming up next.
This KFKA podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Colorado and one community like Greeley, the place we've called home for years. Family-owned, community-focused banking, Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.